bit. I don't know, maybe do an introduction for the audience.
Can we just test your mic a little bit? Just want to...
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
How many languages can you count to 10 in?
Only two.
Only two? Okay. I had a guy rattle off like four different languages.
Oh, no, no, I'm not that impressive. I can only do two.
And it's like,
okay, okay. All right.
So the thing that caught my eye when you spoke to the Wisconsin delegation is you were talking about the rally that Kamala Harris had at the airport hangar and then Donald Trump's reaction. We're doing a story about the increase in AI and manipulation and conspiracy theories and how it's all kind of come together. So how does Trump's response to these large crowds and his need to make them fake kind of play into that whole theme of people not sure what they can believe?
Well, let me level set. I'm a software developer by training. I was got two engineering degrees from the University of Michigan and used to write code for a living. So I know a little bit about technology, but I also know a lot about people who lie. And Donald Trump was so insecure about that crowd size that he had to find a way to try to delegitimize it. And so by playing on the fears of people and saying it was artificial intelligence and fake, that's all he knows how to do is play on people's fears. I think it's really exploitive and dangerous, frankly. I spoke at that rally. I spoke to all 15,000 of those people. They are real. And I think it really just shows that his intelligence is artificial. What he is incapable of doing is actually seeing real people. And to then prey on people's anxieties about the present and future and what technology means, I think that frankly represents how irresponsible he is, not only with technology, but I don't want that kind of person to be in charge of how we regulate technology in the United States or in the world. So I think it just shows yet again why he's unfit for office.
Now, we've seen that his supporters really can't be reached in a lot of these discussions, but what about the people that are susceptible to manipulation? There was an Annenberg School presentation that said it was seniors and some of those people that are most likely to be susceptible. How do you counter program or get out ahead of something like this?
Well, we have to build relationships. Trust is what can overcome lies and disinformation and misinformation, and helping people realize that, you know, if you see something from only one source, you should probably try to find another one. Another practice I would suggest people to do is, the more you want something to be true, the more you must verify that truth. Be willing to not just let your confirmation bias determine when you stop researching something. And I think those can help people navigate it. And everyone can learn how to do that in this media environment.
Where should people turn to for their media sources? Because we've seen as more and more the legacy media has either lost influence or viewers or even trust in a lot of cases. There's new places popping up from both the left and the right. I mean, I get mailers at home, your constituents probably do too, from right-leaning and left-leaning newspapers that are portraying to be independent. Like, what should people be looking for?
Again, never trust a single source. So I think people should work to find multiple sources to verify and understand something. And again, the more you want something to be true, the more you have to scrutinize those sources. And I think if people do those two things, they'll find, because just because a piece of a media outlet is new does not mean it's untrustworthy. You have to build a relationship with that medium so that you can understand its credibility.
You said from your background knowledge, is there anything that people can do to bulletproof a picture or a video to make it clear that it's not manipulated, that it's not fake?
That kind of technology is under research and development about trying to watermark images or stamp videos in a way so that you can verify their authenticity, they were human generated. And, you know, we passed laws in Michigan, for example, that require the labeling of the use of artificial intelligence in political advertising, whether it's in print or digital or on television commercials. And so I think you're seeing more, you know, legislation like that popping up at the state level around the country. But the truth is, you know, I just want people to be willing to scrutinize what they see and don't believe it only on first glance.
So you were there for some of those very first rallies when Kamala Harris and the crowds kind of materialized where people weren't sure what that would look like. Has it only grown since then, or what are you seeing on the ground here?
Everyone gets bigger. I'm so excited that this will be another rally point to show how much support that Vice President Harris and Governor Walz have, because so many people are coming because so many people see themselves in a future with Vice President Harris and Governor Walz at the helm. They include everyone, whereas Trump and Vance, their whole platform is exclusion. Who can we exclude? Who can we disinvite from the party? Who can we not have a vision for in the future? But you know, the vice president and the governor have a different vision, and that's why so many people are proud to be part of it. They want to be here for history. They want to look at their kids and grandkids years later and say, I was there, I participated, I helped make this happen, I helped deliver for the American people.
Donald Trump built his legitimacy 8 years ago off the size of the crowds he could generate and the attention that came with it. Is it, how different are the crowds that are being built around the Harris campaign from the early crowds that generated around the Trump campaign?
Well, I've never been to a Trump rally, so I can't speak for that from first person experience, but I think the biggest difference between the crowds that I've observed, our crowds are diverse. Our crowds look like America. We have people from all shapes, sizes, stripes, backgrounds, accents are present in those audiences because all of these people see themselves as part of the American story, the American future. They have a governor in Tim Walz to be the vice president, a vice president Kamala Harris to be the next president who believes that they have a right to access to a dream of health and wealth. And I think that inclusive and exciting energy is what draws people in.
All right. Anything else you'd like to add?
I want everybody to vote in Wisconsin. And I want everybody to vote to make sure that they just recognize their place and the importance and the primacy of their voice. And when we have, turnout, I think we can get to 2008 turnout levels in Wisconsin and in my home state of Michigan, that's how we're going to win.
Thank you for your time. Appreciate you stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Good to see y'all, okay? Thanks for having me.
Thanks for stopping by.